It doesn't matter where you get your list and who they opted into through where. A list that is high open rate, high click rate, low unsubscribe, low spam complaint, that list, no matter where it came from, is better than the opposite, even if those were all first party opt-ins, right? The consequence of violating a can spam law, that's not what people are concerned about. People are concerned about blowing up their deliverability.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Today's show is sponsored by the Be Profit app for e-commerce sellers. Need a clearer picture of your profit margins, or want an easier way to understand your ad spend, or looking for a fast way to analyze all of your Shopify store's data? Then the Be Profit app does it all for you. And like many of our listeners, I used to track a lot of my profits and expenses with all things like a spreadsheet. It worked for a while, but you know, my store started to scale up and it simply wasn't a viable method to accurately measure the profitability anymore. And that's where Be Profit now changes all of that for Shopify brands. It's currently available right now in the Shopify App Store. Be Profit gathers vast amounts of data in a blink of an eye with an auto integrations to a lot of the top ad platforms, AliExpress, and a lot more. But what Be Profit does next is to translate all of your first party, your Shopify store data, into an intuitive and customizable all-in-one dashboard, providing you with valuable insights, and it really allows you to zoom in on the metrics that matter most to your brand. You can even take full control of your data by creating and exporting your own custom reports. So that's pretty exciting. Discover your most valuable products, their top performing ads, best customer cohorts, and so much more, all with the Be Profit's intuitive profit dashboard. Now you can visit beprofit.co and you can start a 7-day free trial, kind of kick the tires and see what this platform can do. Also, for e-commerce Fastlane listeners, you get access to an exclusive lifetime 15% discount. Use code FL15 on any Be Profit plan. So you get a 7-day free trial, 15% off for life. Check them out today at beprofit.co and use the discount code FL15. Well, hey there. My name is Steve Hutt. I'm Senior Merchant Success Manager here at Shopify, and welcome back to Season 5 of E-Commerce Fastlane. Well, whether this is your first time listening or you're a weekly subscriber, I seriously appreciate the fact that you're taking time today and listening to the show. I know there's plenty of podcast choices out there in direct-to-consumer and e-commerce and just all marketing. And, you know, just the fact that you're here today definitely means the world to me, and I know it does for my featured guest today. If this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show. We have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you likely are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly, and they're available from your favorite podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. We're also streaming live on Amazon Music and YouTube, so you can actually go and check that out too. I also highly recommend getting the full value of today's episode that you click through from your podcast app to the show notes. It'll be at ecommercefastlane.com. And there you'll find the show transcript, all the links, and all the resources that we mentioned today. So on today's episode, my guest is Adam Robinson, who's the CEO and co-founder of a company called Get Emails, and they're at getemails.com. And they're a software. Really what they do is they help Shopify merchants to acquire email addresses of their anonymous site visitors, and you do not have to fill out any forms. All these pop-up and exit intents and all the things that I've been teaching for quite a while about how to build your email list, build your SMS list, get your push notification opt-ins. All of these things are very important for building a brand, but today's a little bit of an interesting departure about what about those people that you don't get those things? How are we able to re-engage those people? And so I know there are going to be lots of questions today. We're going to unpack a lot of this. So hi, Adam. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. I hope I didn't butcher at the top of the show about what Get Emails does, but let's talk first on a high level, and then I've got a couple more interesting deep dive questions around what I believe you're solving, but I'd like to hear it from a founder first about some of these high level problems.
Well, You nailed it with your description. Before this company, I actually owned an email marketing app that served not Shopify customers, but it's something like MailChimp or Klaviyo. It serviced sort of like the main street, you know, flower shops and restaurants and everything. And one of the biggest problems in email that I observed is people's lists shrink. People unsubscribe. Emails are really hard to capture. Even if you're really good at driving traffic to your website and you're really good at pop-ups, you're going to get 3%, maybe 4%, maybe 5% if you're an absolute genius of people to log into your website. And quite frankly, like that's not good enough. Everyone needs more emails than that. So I learned of a technology that was being used in a different way that would allow Shopify stores, any business for that matter, to capture 40% of their anonymous website traffic and resolve that anonymous website traffic to a deliverable email address. And in the USA, meaning not necessarily companies in the USA, but for traffic and USA citizens, you can, in a totally legal way, start retargeting these website visitors over email and gradually warm them up and move them down your funnel and convert them. It's a really easy technology to implement. It plays nicely with any sort of tech stack, you know, Shopify, MailChimp, Klaviyo, Yotpo, any of the other email merchants. And it's a simple implementation on the messaging side too. We just say copy the welcome series you already have. Change the subject line of the first email to thanks for coming by the site. And if the subscriber opens an email in that welcome series, keep retargeting them in your newsletter. And then whenever you go back and calculate the ROI 2 months, 3 months later, you will see that it is phenomenal. Very straightforward.
Yeah. No, this is lovely. And I noticed too that there's quite a few, 3 or 4 different parts. There's the acquire part, which you're talking about, but he's collecting these kind of anonymous site visitors and kind of retargeting to them. I think that's really interesting. There's another part, I guess that's the engage part, this triggered emails, which is interesting. We'll dig into that in a few minutes. And then there's the expand part, which creates more word of mouth expansion through other different channels. You have a thing called a social ID graph, which I thought was quite interesting. Then the reactivation, how to safely re-engage emails that maybe or people that have not opened lately with some kind of special offer for them. So it's kind of unique. One thing I want to talk about first is the origin story, because I think people listen to this podcast, they always wonder, like, you know, I think it's a lot more than, hey, I want to own a SaaS company with recurring revenue. I think a lot of times, Andrew, you mentioned you had an email marketing company or a solution at one point, kind of early on in your journey. And that's what kind of got you here today. So I think it's a lot more than just MRR for you. I think there's a larger story around wanting to help brands based on kind of where we're at today. So maybe you can let us know about like how the pieces came together for you and your co-founder, like the desire and the expertise around wanting to build this this software.
Sure. Well, without going into the 2-hour-long version, I was a Wall Street trader. I worked at Lehman Brothers and traded credit default swaps. And after the financial crisis, my job effectively went away for all intents and purposes. And my roommates in New York, they started Vimeo, the video sharing website, in the apartment that I was living in. So I was obsessed with this idea of being a tech entrepreneur because I watched these guys have this, you know, fantastic ride. And then, you know, long story short, I had no idea how to do this, you know, how to like rework my life from being a trader to a tech entrepreneur. So I just started trying to hang out with people that were doing stuff and made a bunch of bad investments, really. And, I came across this one opportunity where we were basically able to build this little email newsletter app and systematically acquire customers from, you know, the competitor. I'm actually not allowed to say this because of something that I signed, but the competitor to MailChimp, the first email marketing app. So like we were bringing in these customers to this newsletter app, and I really liked the nature of the business. I liked building software for people. I liked making it better for these businesses. And, you know, a problem that I sort of ran into was with that part of the market in particular, and it's like kind of under the Klaviyo market, and these were brick and mortar businesses that were not e-commerce. They weren't making money in their email. It was a difficult customer base to really add features for. It was somewhat frustrating, and MailChimp absolutely owns that market. Like There's no, you know what I mean? It's just, they have a free product. It's the best. They're spending $1 billion a year on advertising. It's just so hard to compete with that offering when they're building faster than you, they're doing everything better. So anyway, I started focusing on trying to do stuff that they weren't doing and tried a few things. They, you know, sort of did okay. And then, you know, I found out about this identity resolution space and it was just captivating to me, this idea that you could do this. You know, it just seemed like magic. You know what I mean? Like when I first, I'm like, what do you mean you can get the email addresses for 40% of your anonymous website visitors? And okay, surely they would be crap email addresses. And turns out that's not true either. Like they deliver better than your house list does. So it's like, it just keeps getting better and better. So, you know, my original plan was to use this feature to grow my email marketing application, which there were so many lessons in there. I mean, the email marketing space is very, it's mature, been around for a long time. The products have not changed very much in a very long time. There are 200 vendors selling virtually the same thing. And then there's a couple brands that have the best brand, the best product, the best people, and they crush everybody. So, and they've bit up all the channels and, you know, you're competing with 150 different vendors. So that's a hard environment to compete in. You know, it's just trying to be different. And this product really is different and no one else is selling anything like it. But when we made it a feature in the ESP, in the email marketing application, people were signing up for the email marketing application because of the feature, using it, downloading the CSV of the leads, and then putting it in their email marketing app, Klaviyo, Drip, whatever, and saying it was an incredible product. So that to me, you know, I love like reading the Y Combinator blog about how to like build a great startup or whatever. That to me is a great indicator of product market fit. Like it's these users who are willing to endure a horrible user experience and they're still giving it like a 10 NPS score. So like, okay, like clearly I'm not going to be able to get people to switch. They don't want to switch email marketing apps from Klaviyo to my email app that was never designed for e-commerce people in the first place, because that's who is really loving this. So this would be a great product if I spun it out, connected it to everything, and made it its own thing. So in January 2020, we did that. And then I ended up selling that email marketing application to private equity. And since then, we've been almost 2.5 years bootstrapped, 10 million ARR with 6 people, which is so awesome. It's just been such a fun thing. And just product keeps getting better and better. And you know, like the ferocity of the word of mouth and the speed of introductions we get. It's just, it's such a great, like, you know, as an entrepreneur, you don't want, that's the best ego stroke possible, you know, very clear that it's working for people and it's driving ROI. And like, you know, it's just so, I selfishly want to do that for Shopify merchants. Like, you know what I mean? It makes me excited that I'm selling something that they're making 10 times their money on or whatever.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about the legal side of this because I think I'm just going to be devil's advocate. You mentioned that, you know, 40% of your anonymous site visitors were able to somehow extract an email address that's legally available and usable here in North America. I think, you know, just obviously it's on a lot of consumers' minds. This GDPR is overseas, but CCPA, this California privacy protection, there's all different things going on. So just would like to understand from your side, because if 40% of these emails are unknown and then you have them through your technology, this kind of like identity thing you mentioned, just walk us through how this is legal.
Sure. So the critical difference between the US and Europe is that at a federal level, email in the US, the CAN-SPAM law is an opt-out legislation, whereas GDPR at their federal level, if you want to call it that, is opt-in. Opt-in for data collection on the internet. Everything in the US, and this law was, CAN-SPAM Act of 2003 was reviewed in 2019. It's not changing anytime soon. It states that you are allowed to send an email if it has an opt-out link in it. So question is, well, why don't I just spam everybody then? And the reason is because what matters in email is not the law. What matters in email is what Gmail and Yahoo and Hotmail want. And you know what they want. They want high opens, high clicks, low unsubscribe, low spam complaint. It doesn't matter where you get your list and who they opted into through where. A list that is high open rate, high click rate, low unsubscribe, low spam complaint, that list, no matter where it came from, is better than the opposite, even if those were all first party opt-ins, right? The consequence of violating a can spam law, that's not what people are concerned about. People are concerned about blowing up their deliverability. So, but I think that it is confusing. So moving on to the California legislation, that's also opt-out legislation. They would love for it to be like GDPR. It can't be, because if it was, people would sue California under federal law for creating a law that directly opposes federal law. So it's very similar to GDPR in that it's, you know, provides consumer information, a disclosure to the consumer. It, you know, sort of allows the consumer to opt out. Don't sell my information. Please delete my data, all that stuff. But it does not say that consumers have to opt in for data collection or email. So that is what makes all of this sort of untouched by legislation. And look, if somehow there was a sweeping federal mandate that like made this illegal, like I would, you know, we'd be selling different products than this, but I don't foresee that happening, just because it's like once these, all of the other states are now enacting legislation that emulates the California legislation, and it's sort of moving in this direction. And like, it's not clear to me or any of the privacy attorneys that I use that Train is going to do this massive like shift anytime soon. So yeah, but strictly from a legal perspective, 100% legal. Now, whether or not you believe that doing this tactic of de-anonymization is ethical is a different story. I have found that most Shopify merchants, when they find out what the ROI is and how good the engagement of the emails are, they are law-abiding citizens and they're happy to do it in the US. That's been what I've seen.
I'm going to unpack a story, I think, in a few minutes. I snooped around a bit on your site and noticed a couple case studies and stuff, but maybe I might get you to expand a bit more on that one in a minute. So if I'm clear then, so brands still have their creative that they're have, I guess, through Klaviyo, if that's, or Omnisend or whatever kind of platform they're using, they have certain flows, either cart and browse recovery, and just kind of, it's almost just lifecycle marketing. And this is like my active, my at risk, my churned customers, and the playbook through email of how I deal with these different cohorts of customers. That is all a constant. Am I correct with that?
More or less. So, okay.
So what changes now if I have, because there's going to be many brands listening right now that have a decent flow. They've got product market fit. They're doing their thing. They're on Shopify Plus, probably doing their thing. I'm now saying, hey, get emails might be an interesting opportunity for you. And so I want to make sure that the lift isn't too much. I know the ROI is probably going to be there. We'll get into the case study in a minute, but I just want to say, hey, I've got all this creative over here and flows and triggers and all these different things. What happens when your platform is kind of added on as part of the tech stack?
Let me tell you how light of a lift it is just to try it out, right? That's all that we're suggesting. We're not saying that you should, you know, do anything other than that. I want you to try it out in a way that is totally safe. You believe that it's totally safe and it doesn't take a lot of effort, and you just see that it's working. And then we build from there. We scale out to other stuff. So the simplest way to try this out would be to put the code either just on every page or just put it on, you know, some lower in the funnel pages, whatever you want, but cap the email flow to something that is such a small amount of emails per day that it couldn't possibly hurt you, even if you didn't believe me and I was wrong about how good the deliverability is, right? So you don't even have to believe me. Just cap it at a level where you can't get hurt. And you can tell us what that is and we'll cap it for you. So we'll let the script run for an hour and we'll come up with an amount of money that you want to spend for this like trial period. So let's say it's a few $100. And literally all you have to do is put the script in the header of your Shopify site, or we have, you know, instructions, or in Google Tag Manager, if you use that, if you want to get a little bit more sophisticated and say, well, I only want people who viewed two pages, or like, I only want people who stuck on my website for 5 seconds. Very easy to program Google Tag Manager. So get this pixel on your site. And then whether it's Klaviyo or MailChimp or Omnisend, like you said, we just, in our app, you hit the integrations tab, you build up, it's like a one-click integration, and you basically send these contacts to a journey in Klaviyo. Now, on the Klaviyo side, before you turn everything on, what I recommend to do for this trial period, and this is a super light lift, is just take your existing welcome series, copy it, change the subject line of the first email to thanks for coming by the site instead of thanks for subscribing to my list, and let it run. And then anybody who opens in that flow, add them to your active list. And then what you have to do to see the total amount of money that you made, you can't just look at the welcome series flow. Klaviyo only does attribution at a campaign level. However, the only way that makes sense to look at this would be to let a period of time to go by. And let's say in 60 days, you go into Klaviyo, you take this entire segment of emails and you sum their customer lifetime values, the total purchases these people have made. And then you look at how much you've paid us and you see that it's like, you know, 5 or 10% of the money you made, and everybody's happy. And you sort of, you know, keep going, grow, try some other products, whatever. But like, that is, to me, I think somebody can get this thing stood up in under 1 hour if they're like mildly proficient, you know? And then it's upgrade, downgrade, cancel anytime. It's like, we're making this as easy as possible to prove the value to yourself.
Okay. I like this. Now, do you feel that every Shopify brand is worthy to want to start using Get Emails, or is there a sweet spot that really makes the most sense at scale?
Well, there's certainly a sweet spot. So if you don't have any US traffic, it won't work because it's only a US database and the IPs are ring fenced to the US. So that's one. If you don't have traffic in general, if you just started your website, it's not going to work because we're resolving emails out of people's traffic. If you don't have a profitable email program, you're going to end up buying these emails, sticking them into an unprofitable email program, and you're going to be like, I'm wasting even more money than I was before. It's not going to work, right? So I think that the combination, if you're like gun to your head, what's the revenue level where, you know, there's a 90% shot that this is going to work for Shopify Store, I'd say probably 5 million. You know, like the plus audience, if you have a Shopify Plus store, there is a 90% chance that this will work really well for you. Like if you have made it far enough to be that level of merchant. So, and it totally can work for people smaller than that, but like, that's just the sweet spot. It's, you know, usually it's like you're good at email by that time. Like, you know, you have real traction, product market fit with the product in general, and you know, it works great.
Now, you brought up a few things about some existing tech stacks. I think it's one of the comments that always my merchants, I have a book of business in Shopify, and I have monthly calls with most of my brands. And when I talk about it, you know, I do a couple shows a week, and so it's 8 episodes that I've recorded. And then I come on and, you know, let them know. And, you know, usually 1 or 2 episodes usually resonate with the brands that I manage in different orders. And so, you know, for example, a lot of them say to me, Steve, okay, this is great. Thank you for like recording this stuff. And I think this is great. I always want to learn about new and exciting pieces of technology that can help us move the needle or be early adopters, these sorts of things. And so they get that part of it. Always the pushback from engineering or the marketing team is just saying, okay, do you play nicely with other pieces of tech? And so I went and I checked. Obviously, there's a link on your website /integrations. And I see you, there's lots of partners. So can you walk us through the intentionality behind what you do as it relates to the partner ecosystem and other solutions?
Sure. I mean, my approach this entire time has been, you know, it's pretty simple. The more people we connect to, the more valuable this thing. So, you know, we connect to everybody. And if you go to that integrations page, you'll see, I mean, there's, you know, every messaging platform under the sun, there's basically an integration to. And you know, the reason why it's just a really simple integration. All it's really doing is sending over a contact in real time, which is then triggering a journey in the messaging platform. So it's, you know, we have a guy that builds these things and updates them full time, takes them 48 hours to build a new one. If there's anything not on there that a merchant wants, it's a super simple build. And, you know, that's part of the reason why this thing works so well, just connectivity.
And also, I noticed too that you have Zapier there. So for those that maybe don't have a direct connection, there are ways of pushing that data through Zapier to another tool of choice. So that's interesting. And then from the CRM side, so I see Zoho is listed here. I think in Entreport and a few others. I think what's interesting, I think in the Shopify world, you know, there's quite a few solutions. The customer, obviously with a K, that's the, you know, a Facebook property for CRM. Gorgeous is quite big. There's a few others out there. Would there be a benefit in connecting your solution to a CRM? Like what sort of records would be in there that would be actionable and important for someone who, I don't know, who's a customer support rep that has access to something that's being triggered or an email that's been revealed through a CRM? I guess want to understand the logic behind it, I guess.
So we built the Zoho one. We'll build anything that literally anybody asked for. It was definitely not an e-com store that asked for the Zoho integration. What I would say is that the majority of the people that we've sold to are this Shopify Plus Klaviyo type of guy. These guys, the simplest way to implement this is just to go straight into the messaging application. I would say a much larger brand, and we deal with a couple of them, if they have a CDP, which is, you know, a CRM that sort of deals with both anonymous and known business, there's things that they would want to do that would be really interesting for them. For instance, we can tie together, you know, if Steve has, you know, three different email addresses and they've laid first party pixels on two of your devices that are anonymous, we can tie that all back to one email address of you, which is very interesting and compelling. It's just for a much bigger company, you know, somebody who's huge. But yeah, I mean, you don't see a lot of CRMs that Shopify and Shopify Plus merchants would be using, because there's not, you know, it's still what we've been selling so far is also sort of a prospecting tool. It's like they're not really customers yet when we're adding the record. And, you know, by the time they become customers, so much more information is like filled in and that goes to the CRM. So, you know, I just, for what we're doing right now, the CRM integration is, it's just, I think it adds more complexity than the benefit of the brand.
Today's episode is brought to you by BeProfit, the all-in-one profit analysis dashboard for Shopify e-commerce brands. Get a grip on all of your store's data and start making data-driven decisions to optimize your profitability today. Make the most of your store and discover the true power of BeProfit by visiting BeProfit.co. And don't forget to use the code FL15, that's FL15, for an exclusive lifetime 15% discount. Just end of the day, yeah. So it seems like it's all the marketing automation tools, the biggies, Klaviyo being the biggest one, you know, and then the OmniSends and others, you know, all those different ones that are out there. You allow those flows to be triggered, copying over the campaigns over, at least the easy lift with the welcome sequence. And then, So that part I get. I think that's awesome. That's easy to implement. I want to make another pivot over to a story now, because I think this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, because I think people listening to the show go, okay, wait a second. Who else has kind of like made the choice to start with get emails and get rolling on the platform? And why do they do it? Are they a Klaviyo customer? So I don't, you know, hopefully I saw a few on your website, so I'll let you choose who you want to chat about, but I'd just like to understand a little bit about like what motivated them from their current process. What were they missing out of the Klaviyo side of welcome sequence and lifecycle marketing that good brands are executing on well? Like, what were they missing and searching around? They found you and now used you. And then what happened on the other end? I've read the case study, but I want to hear it in your own words as you share with our listeners.
Sure. So Kariuma was one of our first customers, and I think they're just such a cool brand. You know, they raised venture and they're growing super fast. And, you know, even right now, it's kind of a challenging environment for some e-com brands. And these guys are still absolutely crushing it with their growth. We cold emailed them, and I'm not sure that they were actively searching for our solution, but I think when they heard what we could do, they were just like, well, okay, like,
really?
I'm going to try this. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to try this. And then it very quickly became something where it was like an absolutely, you know, central part of their whole, you know, marketing effort in general. And they, I mean, their ROI is phenomenal. We have a dashboard and there's times where it's 25, 30x ROI. Its case study says 13. It gets higher over time because people make repeat purchases on the same email. It's this like snowball effect, but they also value the first party data in owning it irrespective of the ROI, which I think is, you know, somewhat unique about them versus the rest of the customers. You know, most Shopify brands, it's like, okay, this is another channel. You know, if it's outperformed on other channels, great, I'll do it. If it doesn't, then I don't really care. I think these guys would do it even if the ROI wasn't quite as good, because they believe that we're going into this world where you need to own your audience. So they want to have as much of this information as humanly possible. So yeah, I mean, they really only do the process that I described to you. They warm people up with this welcome series, and then they just retarget them daily in their newsletter. And, you know, by virtue of having been added to their email list, there's all these flow through benefits to the down the funnel, you know, abandonment emails that these users get sent. And yeah, just it works phenomenally well for these guys.
Yeah, this is lovely. I had a question about the regulated markets. Is there any issues with cannabis or hemp or CBD kind of products if you're still doing it legally? Adult is another whole industry. So like, I just want to make sure that you still play nicely with those. If you're able to do it through your email marketing solution currently, this is just concatenates along with it. It's just the same workflow, but you're the one helping uncover this, these missing 40%.
Yep. So the cannabis definitely is fine. We've only had a couple people try it. And email's an interesting thing. It's not like adult, I think, is just a really hard industry to email to in general. Emailing an anonymous website visitor adult related content is something that I never think would work, period, full stop. You know, that's just my opinion and what I've seen from like two people trying it. But the cannabis is not, you know, delivers great. You know, these guys love it, obviously, because they're restricted in what they can do in the ad platforms.
I see. No, the reason I ask is I think Pink Cherry is a large kind of adult company. And I think Pink Cherry in Canada, I think, launched on Shopify Plus, and I think they're doing their thing. I just was curious if there's any value to them. But then once again, I could see people that may have gone to the site and they want to be there, but they just don't want to be emailed about the fact, and they'll come back if they want to.
Yeah, it would be really interesting. I mean, this is not the type of site that tried it before. You know, it was less of a, it was more of a publisher type adult that tried it before. Yeah, I mean, but I could, it would be.
Oh, I see. Sorry to interrupt you, but there also is like the sexual wellness brands too that are available that are like CBD infused products, whatever those are, arousal things, all different things. I mean, so just, you know, it is what it is, but it's just like, I just want to make sure that like anybody listening today, they could be in all different industries. I just want to make sure that, oh yeah, I'm in CBD or I'm in this or I'm in that. Yeah, I can see myself using it.
Pink Cherry, if you're listening, I would love to see if this worked for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no doubt.
Very small size, you know, it would just be so interesting to know. This is great stuff. I mean, this is like real. Yeah, you may have to make the content of the email somewhat less, you know, you're probably not sending pictures of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. A little bit different than their typical welcome sequence. No doubt. All right. So thank you for sharing that case study. I'm going to link these all up for sure in the show notes. Just, and there's a whole bunch of others, like, gosh, I don't know, 20-ish case studies up there. So like alcohol brands, and like, you really do take care of like a lot of markets, fashion accessories, you're into alcohol, you're into like, yeah. So it's good. So I'll make sure I have all that in the show notes. I'd like to talk about the future, because I know you're saying that you're mostly focused right now on this kind of anonymous 40% and really helping with that. And that's where the most kind of product adoption is happening right now. There are other parts of your platform. This, like I mentioned, the engage, the expand, the reactivate, these sorts of things. I just would like to know, where do you see the platform headed? Because right now you're very acquiring these email addresses through, you know, your methods, aligning them all up and just giving brands that extra nudge they need to kind of get higher conversions. But like, where else do you see it going? Like, is SMS part of this at some point? I know it's probably more opt-in challenges, but.
Yep. So we're beta testing this product, which you mentioned earlier, Engage. And, you know, if you want to think about what we're doing right now and what we sold for the last 2.5 years, it's very top of the funnel email marketing. It's like, people are hitting your homepage. We're giving you an email. You're sending them a welcome series, and then you're putting them in your newsletter. Another problem that merchants have is abandonment emails, cart, product, category. Those are the most lucrative emails you send out. You're not sending out emails to these people unless they're logged in, even if you have their opt-in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So our tech right now, as it stands, we can help people send out 4 or 5 times more of these emails to people that are already on their list just by identifying them and popping that event over to Klaviyo. Or, for example, SME, you brought up SMS, Attentive, right? If we can send an email to Attentive of someone that is known to the Shopify merchant, and if they have a phone number in Attentive and they bail on a product, they can send product abandonment through Attentive, and then that's a super high converting email. So that to me is like the most obvious next step. It's like, we just need to move down the funnel and start, you know, giving our brands more ROI that way. And then, you know, we have this incredible, this only really works for people who've been mailing for like a long, long time. Like Warby Parker's our biggest customer. They have 6 million inactive email addresses that they're not mailing because they went stale, if you want to call it that. And the problem with the stale email list is it's full of spam traps. If anyone's tried to email a stale email list, you know what happens. It can just blow you up. So we can actually, we're buying a bunch of open and click data from the email ecosystem to make the first product work, because we only give an email address to a brand if it's open or clicked in the last 14 days. So, and that's really why that product works so well. It's a super hot email address. It's super hot in the email ecosystem. So a brand can give us their inactive file and we can listen for open events that are happening in other emails out there in the email ecosystem. And for someone you're not emailing, we can send an event in real time when someone's clicking on something else and you can hit them with a reactivation email that says, hey, here's 15% off, come back or whatever. And it's a crazy high open rate. It's a really great technology. So, you know, the idea over time would be, you know, building more and more of these things that just help people with their retention and LTV maximization through messaging, you know, involving identity resolution and data. You know, that's the future of the platform. You know, it's sort of diversifying away from this one thing that like some people think is sketchy and, you know, having a whole suite of products that really helps people increase LTV and retain.
I think another thing too that's interesting, Shopify in the last, I think they've been alpha and beta testing the Shopify audiences where Shopify is making the decision on behalf of a brand where they believe their next sale is going to come from. And I think anonymously they're sending email addresses to Facebook for Facebook, kind of top of funnel campaigns and some retargeting campaigns and lookalikes and things like that. I know it was anecdotal at the beginning, but the ROAS is significantly better doing a prospecting campaign from Shopify audiences. Mostly this is for Shopify Plus brands where they have the app installed and you kind of pause your existing Facebook ads campaigns, but you use your creative, but then let Shopify then supply encrypted the email addresses of who we believe your next customer is going to be. And I know it's working. I could see there being value with get emails. Like, you know, if 40% are unknown, regardless if you're a Shopify audiences customer or not, and that's kind of what you're doing for acquisition strategies of just paid ads, paid social kind of thing. I think it'd be interesting to have your tool revealing these 40% of these browse, a cart recovery kind of things, and then sending out campaigns to Facebook based on that. Like, is this a possibility?
So, you know, this is an area that we just haven't even gotten to yet, but it's better than 40%. Facebook can accept SHA-256 hashes, and we can give our customers SHA-256 hashes on like 80% of their website visitors. So it's a little different than the Shopify Audiences product because they're giving you people who they think are buyers, right? I would be giving people a retargeting audience that's persistent and my pixel's not blocked because I don't have an app in the Apple App Store and it can be used for a retargeting audience. So, you know, we have the integration built. It's just the email ROI sale is so easy that like, I just haven't even gotten there yet, but that's absolutely, you know, sort of at the same time we're beta testing this lower in the funnel stuff, trigger stuff, we're going to be getting people to start running Facebook traffic against these retargeting audiences and see how they do.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. All right. Open up a can of worms, I hope. But it's just, you know, it's one of those things. I just think brands are really, really chomping at the bit, you know, just with the cookie-less thing and iOS 14.5 and all the craziness and blended ROAS and all this stuff. They're trying to figure it a way. And, you know, obviously with, you know, the pandemic is still here, but retail's opened up, the buying habits are changing. I think some brands are feeling a little bit, you know, e-commerce is down. It's overall net up year over year, but it's not the gangbusters it's been for 2 years. And so knowing that, brands are trying to get crafty about, well, how do we maximize LTV or how do we improve our conversion rate or average order value? And like, there's lots of main KPIs that are important. It sounds like you have a great tool to help reveal a lot of this unknown site visitor traffic that they are getting and or are paying for, but they don't know who they are yet. I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's pretty cool. I'm sold.
I do too.
Sign me up.
I mean, I might be talking my book, but I think it's incredible. I don't know why I hear it all the time. People are like, I don't know why everybody's not using this. I'm like, golly, I mean, stop telling me that. It's so annoying.
Well, because they weren't on this podcast yet. They gotta be on e-commerce Fastlane first. So here we are. So we are nearing the end of the show. Where do you want to send everybody? Like, where can people get more information and can they get rolling on this thing? And then I understand you want to have a little offer for those listening today if they want to kick the tires and kind of get going on this.
Sure. So there's just tons of information on getemails.com, resources section, tons of case studies, tons of blog posts, educational stuff. Go to podcast.
Okay. Perfect.
So the offer, the Fastlane offer, if you go to getemails.com/Fastlane, it'll show you how to get 25% off for your first 3 months. However, I want to do one better. For anybody listening to this podcast, if you haven't 5x'd what you've paid us in 6 months of using the product, I will literally just hand you all your money back. Won't even ask a question. So remind me if you don't make that money and come in to cancel, and I will just give you your money back.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good offer. No.
That's how certain I am that it will work, especially if you sort of meet that criteria of being like kind of a plus type merchant.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, this is great. Well, you know, thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, I apologize maybe if I've asked a lot of questions just kind of off the cuff, but the whole idea is that you know, I have this life of learning kind of mantra too. And, you know, you're newish on my radar, but it's very clear that you're doing something very unique in the marketplace. And that's the goal of this podcast, really, is to educate these D2C brands that there's things out there that, you know, if you're willing to take a small risk and try something new, there's the tried and true plus technology partners, and we get all that part of it. This is a unique add-on. You're already a Klaviyo or an OmniSend kind of customer, or Dot Digital, whatever you're using, you know, this is another piece they can add on just to help with conversions. I just want to thank you. I think you're really onto something. Hopefully this is one of many podcast recordings that we can do into the future as you keep iterating on your product and we figure out the opt-in legal compliance of SMS. But I think you're onto something really unique here. And thanks for coming on the show and sharing.
Steve, thanks for having me.
All right, have yourself a great day. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.